Good morning. Thank you so much to Keisha for sharing her story with you. And I know that's been one of the things that I've loved about this weekend is it's just life on life. And we hear from Mary and we hear from Cheesy, or we're just talking to the women beside us and the prayer burdens that we're carrying. And just that life on life just breeds more and more of the life of Jesus in us. And I'm so glad you're here today, whether you're in this room or if you're joining us through the live stream, as we as sisters in Christ just link arms to spur one another on. Now, I have a question. Are there any women in the room that you would describe yourself as a handy woman? Anyone that, you know, you're not a handy man, but you are a handy woman, yeah? So my husband and I, we didn't know this when we got married, but we are so opposite, like in every way. And I tend to break things, and so he has to fix things, right? And so I find these tools sometimes just lying around our house. And recently I found this. Does anybody have any idea what this is? Any of the handy women, you kind of know what this is? So when I look at this, I think, oh, it's the letter L, you know, for love, you know? I'm hoping my husband has some more metal letters lying around somewhere and he can spell out the letter love. But I heard some of you gave the right answer. This is a builder square. And if you are if you're building a home, or if you're building a playhouse or treehouse or whatever, this is an important tool, because how you use this as building something, we have to have the horizontal straight, and it tells us if the horizontal is straight. And if it is, then what you're trying to build vertically, maybe a wall or whatever it is that you're wanting to build vertically, it's going to be straight too, because the horizontal is straight. But for our purposes this weekend, we are going to use this tool in a very different way. And you've heard it all weekend long. We want to get the vertical straight. You heard Pastor Bob last night talking to us about pouring out our heart in worship, and Dana on humility and having to walk before God humbly, and Mary this morning, oh my goodness, all about our sin and what a blessing it is to be able to confess the sin and unburden ourselves. And as we're doing that, we are getting the vertical right. And here's the truth. When our vertical is right, for the first time, we have the opportunity for the horizontal to be right. If my builder square is like this, if my vertical is not right with God, is there any way for my horizontal to be correct? There's no way. We've got to get the vertical right so that then our horizontal will be right. And all throughout the conference, so far, we have been talking about our vertical relationship with God. We're turning the corner, and we're talking about the horizontal. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I love the book of Ephesians, and Paul has been pouring out all through Ephesians 1, all of the blessing. Think of our builder square. God has lavished his grace on us. He has chosen us for this. And then all of a sudden, when we get to Ephesians 4, he turns it out. He takes all the blessing that God gives us vertically, and he bends that blessing out to us on a horizontal level. So if you're at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, say go. All right. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you, you may want to underline that word urge, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager, you may want to underline this word, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you hear what Paul is saying? Paul is saying it matters how we treat each other. If we have been lavished with this grace of God, as Cheesy just taught us, then we have got to bend the blessing of that grace out to each other. We are one in the body of Christ, and we've got to let humility, patience, love, gentleness bind our relationships together. God loves us, we bend the love out. God is so generous to us, we are so generous to the people that we are around. And I hear you're thinking out there, and you're saying, I would love to live in a world like that. Why don't we have a love like that? I would love to live in a world that looks like that. Well, you know what? God created that. He created a world just like that. Perfect harmony, perfect unity. And guess what we did? We broke it, right? Way back in Genesis chapter 3, we broke it and sin entered the world. And ever since then, hurt has been coming toward us and hurt has been coming from us because we're living in a broken, fallen world and our hearts are broken. Our hearts are broken and they're bent towards sin and we can't get it right. So what do we do? What do we do with the hurt? What do we do with the hurt that has come from us? What do we do with the hurt that has come to us? I want to talk today about the two directions of forgiveness. What is that going to look like for us? So there are times that hurt comes from us, right? And we are seated in this seat. We are sitting in the seat of the offender. We don't always get it right. We mess up. We say wrong things. What do we do if we find ourselves in a place where hurt has come from our lives and into someone else's? I want to look at two scriptures with you. First of all, Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is speaking here to religious people. Jesus is speaking to church women, church ladies, right? He's talking to people who are serving, they're giving, they're bringing an offering, they're working behind the scenes. And Jesus says, if you are there serving and you remember that there is something between you and a brother or sister in Christ, just stop what you're doing right there. First, go and make that right. Reconcile this relationship. Ladies, he's talking to us. He's talking to us. We're giving, we're serving. Maybe we're leading a small group. Maybe we have a ministry that's on our heart that we're just giving our all to. And maybe in doing good things, we're neglecting a very weighty matter of getting this relationship right. God says, it's not wrong to give. It's great to give. It's great to serve. But if in the midst of that, you know that there's someone you have offended, go make that right first. Be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Acts 24, 16, Paul is talking. He's actually in the middle of, he's on trial. He's in a court proceeding. And right in the middle of that, he says this, Acts 24, 16. He says, so I always take great pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Do you hear what Paul is saying? So Paul's right here in the middle of our builder square. He's right here. He said, I want a clear conscience between me and God and me and other people. What is a clear conscience? So Keisha was talking about the Seeking Him book. The definition of a clear conscience in our Seeking Him book is having no unconfessed sin between me and God or me and any other person. That's not easy. No wonder Paul said, I take great pains. If that's going to be the reality of my life, I'm going to have to make that a priority. We're not talking about walking around perfect, like we have to be these perfect women. No, Jesus lived out our perfection for us because he knew we never would. We can't. We've got these broken and bent hearts. So I'm not calling you to a standard of perfection. Jesus lived our perfection for us. I'm calling you to a standard of humility. I'm calling you to a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, that when we blow it, we are quick to seek forgiveness. We're quick to acknowledge our offense. This has been a powerful principle in my life. I found myself in the seat of the offender many times. I grew up in church, but I did not get the gospel. I didn't understand at all. It just kind of went right over my head. And as a result, I became a great liar because I knew what was right, but I wasn't living what was right. I was a total hypocrite. And when I came to know the Lord at 22, God started changing everything about me. He started working on the vertical. I started learning about humility and grace and honesty and so many areas that God wanted to get right. And then the Lord said, "All right, we're getting this going. I want you to turn to the horizontal." And I had so many people that I had offended. I needed to call my parents and seek their forgiveness for the ways that I'd lied and covered and deceived. I had friends in high school and college that saw me confessing, saying that I was a follower of Jesus, but watching how I lived and seeing the hypocrisy, and it broke my heart. The way that I had maligned the name of Jesus because I'm calling him Lord, but not living as Lord. And my list was so long, I called professors from my university, said, "I've cheated on tests, would you please forgive me?" My list was so long. Some people scolded, some people gave grace. And I had to start learning that their response was not my responsibility, but my obedience to Jesus is. I don't always get it right. And now I try to seek forgiveness as soon as I've wronged someone. One of the main reasons is because I don't want that long list again. That wore me out. I don't want that long list again. I want to keep short sin accounts that I'm asking as soon as I hear the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. Even last week, our family made a decision that negatively impacted a friend of mine's family. And I had to go to my friend and say, "Would you please forgive me for the way I told you about that decision? If I had thought that through a little better and realized how it was going to impact your family, I could have worded that so much better. Would you please forgive me?" And we had been a little bit estranged for a few weeks. I didn't know how it was going to go. And she just grabbed my hands and she said, "Andrea, God has already been meeting with me and I was in the wrong." And we just got to pray there together as sisters in Christ. And she said, "Thank you for coming so that we could reconcile." What did Paul say? "I urge you to eagerly maintain the unity in the Spirit." Now, ladies, it doesn't always go that well. It doesn't always go that well. That's why I love Romans 12, 18, that says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." If possible, so far as it depends on you. As a pastor's wife, I'll get calls or hear from people that in some way we've offended them. And Trent and I, my husband and I, we try to go and we meet with them and we talk to them, we try to pray, and sometimes it just gets worse. And sometimes they leave the church and it's painful. It's painful because you know you're one in the body of Christ. And then you see them later in the community and it's like your heart just jumps up into your throat. What do? Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you. Have you taken responsibility for your 10%? You say, "Andrea, they were 90% wrong. I was only 10% wrong." Okay. Have you taken responsibility for your 10%? Are you trying, as Paul is asking us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So even as I've been talking, the Holy Spirit may have been bringing someone to mind. Could you just write their name down? Is there someone you've offended that you've not gone back and made it right? Just write that down there on your paper. And I want to transition from the seat of the offender to the seat of the offended. If you still have your Bibles open to Ephesians 4, you can just turn over one page. The seat of the offended is when we've had hurt come toward us. What do we do with the hurt that has come at us? And I know right now I am talking to women who have been hurt through abuse, through trauma. Some of you have been betrayed by a spouse or a friend, a boss. Some of you have had unfounded accusations thrown at you. What do you do with that? Some of us in this room or in the sound of my voice through our live stream, you're just hurting because you live in a broken, fallen world. And it wasn't intentional. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're dealing with the loss of a physical ability, and it is painful. How do we move forward? There are some women in this room that we are hurting because we've chosen sin. If the like Mary was teaching us this morning, if the truth were known, we're sitting in both seats because we've chosen sin. Women in this room, we've slept with many men. There may be some women in this room who have slept with women. There may be some women in this room through out of the pain of your trauma, you've traumatized others. And what do? You do what Mary taught us this morning. We run to the cross. We run to the gospel. Because the gospel tells us that every person who has ever repented and believed, God put all of our sin that we've committed and all of the sin committed against us. Do you know where it went? It went on the cross. It went on the cross with Jesus Christ, and God poured out his wrath on that sin. And Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What do? God's only given us one way to deal with hurt. We forgive. Let your eyes drop down to Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Just like Keisha was telling us on the video, if we won't forgive, we will end up experiencing bitterness, wrath, and anger. God tells us to forgive. What does that mean? It means that we fully release the offender from his debt. We fully clean out the record. You know, when your school teacher would wipe off the blackboard, you know, that just using the eraser, and if you looked really closely, you could still see the words. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about when she took water and a sponge and she wiped off the blackboard and there was nothing left to see. We don't bring up the offense against them anymore. Why? Because we've cleared the record. It's gone. We don't hold it against them anymore. Now, there is a difference between trust and forgiveness. Trust may need to be rebuilt over time through consistent behavior. But forgiveness is commanded by God so that we don't stay caught. One of my favorite verses on forgiveness is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And it says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many are defiled." Do you know what bitterness is? It's simply harbored hurt. It's so easy to become bitter because it's just a hurt comes into our lives and we hold on to it. We don't let go. It's just harbored hurt. That's why God says in Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. So this is what happens. A hurt comes into our life and it's all we can handle. We're holding on to the hurt. It's all we can handle. And God says, I have grace for that. He's even been telling us. He tells us every time we open the Word. He's probably prepared us for it, even that day in our time with Him. So a hurt comes in, we're holding it, and God's over here saying, I have grace for that. I have grace. I want to pour my grace into that. And if we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to set the hurt down. I'm open for all of your grace. Yes, Lord, I want your grace. Then we obtain the grace of God and we're free. We don't get caught in the bitterness, the anger, the slander. But this is what we typically do. This is what I do. Lord, I just want to think about this hurt for a little bit. Kind of want to feel this, think it through, see how deeply I'm going to allow it to affect me. Kind of just hold it right here. And guess what happens when we do that? We hold on to that hurt. We hold on to the bitterness. And the verse tells us what happens. It says bitterness is a root issue. So we're holding on to it. We're just kind of smashing it down. We're hoping nobody else sees it. But the verse tells us bitterness will always spring up in our lives. Bitterness will spring up through our anger, through being overly sensitive, our fault-finding, critical spirit. It's bitterness. So the bitterness will spring up. It says it will cause trouble, and by it many will be defiled. Do you know who's defiled by our bitterness? The ones who are closest to us. Our husbands, our kids, our loved ones. Because our bitterness will spring up. It will cause trouble and it will defile many. The first thing the Lord had me do when I came to know Him when I was 22 was make this list. So many people that I needed to forgive, just hurt that I'd been harboring. And so I made my list and I literally went into a room. I didn't have a house of my own then, and so I found a prayer room in the church. And I just got before the Lord on my knees, and I said, God, I'm not getting up until I've released all of these people from the debt I feel they owe me. I'm not getting up. I was there a long time, a lot of prayers, a long time. And as I released each one, when I was finished, I took my list and I burned it. And that was so beneficial for me because every time I would remember the hurt, I would remember the time that I was on my knees before the Lord. And I would be able to say, nope, that's forgiven. I'm not going there again. I'm not letting those thoughts go in my head. We're done. That's forgiven. One of my biggest people that I needed to forgive, I needed to learn how to accept the forgiveness that God had already given me on the cross. I was so bitter towards myself for the wrong choices I'd made and the sin that I had chosen to involve myself in. And I needed to run to the gospel and remember that God had poured out all of His wrath onto Jesus so that I can now go free. We have to receive the grace, the love, the forgiveness that God has already given us on the cross through Jesus. When the vertical is right, when we're understanding, when we're learning what Jesus did for us, we'll be free to treat others with that same love, forgiveness, and grace. I don't know what hurts you're harboring in here or on our live stream in a crowd this size, I can only imagine. But I wonder if I could just pray over you. God knows. God has seen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these women. I thank you for their soft, hungry, teachable hearts. God, I pray right now that you would give them the grace to forgive. God, when we realize how much we have been forgiven, we are set free to forgive all of those who have sinned against us. God, there is nothing that has ever been done to us that we have not done to you on the cross. Lord, I pray you would open our spiritual eyes. God, I pray that you would give us grace, give us strength to forgive, to open the prison and walk free of our bitterness. It's in Jesus' name I pray all of these things. Amen.